So my name is Jake Soberall, and I'm a CEO and co-founder of Bitwise Industries. I'm very interested to know whether I'm good at podcasts.
You're very articulate, so that helps.
It's an unconquered territory for me. And so there was a little bit of nerves coming on a Walling podcast, but we got through it.
Man, I think this could be your next gig. I think when you get tired of being CEO, you can find a place in the basement and just do podcasts all day.
There you go. Maybe I'll have my own office even.
Someday. Something you can aspire to.
Keep dreaming.
Right.
In this episode of Zen Founder, Cher and I speak with Jake Soberall of Bitwise Industries. Together with Irma Olguin, they founded Bitwise in Fresno, California, which is the town where Sherry and I and our family live. And Bitwise has already had a substantial impact revitalizing this local community. Fresno is traditionally an area of high poverty. There's a lot of brain drain that goes on. And it's historically an agricultural area without a lot of new industry or jobs. Even though Bitwise has only been around for a couple years, it's already having a substantial impact on the local community. Welcome to the Zen Founder Podcast. I'm Rob, the founder.
And I'm Sherry, the clinical psychologist. And we've come together to help founders and their families stay sane while starting up.
Each week, we'll talk about different ways to work well, stay emotionally and physically healthy, and stay connected to the people that you care about.
So what is Bitwise? Give us a little bit of the Reader's Digest version of Bitwise.
Sure. So Bitwise Industries is a private company, but it was founded with a really big and audacious goal. And that was that we wanted to take and create out of the technology industry as it existed in Fresno, a global technology industry within a period of 3 to 5 years. With respect to our actual function, if we're doing our jobs right, we provide resources to the technology industry in three key areas: place, education, and execution. The reason that we selected those areas is by comparing to other places that had gone from a past very similar to ours, agricultural economy, not a destination, lose more smart people than you gain, all of the ills people rattle off about Fresno, but these other places had gone on to a very different present. And so for us, that was Austin, Portland, and Silicon Valley. And we took a deep look at what those folks had done in the last 50 years or so and identified what we thought were kind of missing pieces. And that's how we got to that place, education, and execution, believing if you add those to what was already going on, you could accelerate the growth of the technology industry here in Fresno, much the same way as you've seen in those places. Just really quickly, place, how do we create the sorts of environments the technology industry wants to be and grow in? That takes the form of technology hubs that house companies and individuals in the industry. Education, how do we teach people how to code quickly and in a relevant way such that they can enter industry in the way that they'd like to? And then execution, how do we provide very leanly both to local business around the world, software consulting services such that they begin to get used to getting their technical solutions from Fresno? Reciprocally, how do we bring exciting opportunity to the development community here in Fresno? Our execution component, which for us is Shift 3 Technologies.
Wow. So there's a lot going on and it's all based around technology. But technology is not necessarily your interest or background or training. So why the emphasis on technology and how did you get into the tech world?
Yeah. So my training is in the legal arena, albeit my practice area was intellectual property. And so I didn't come to this with a technical background really of any meaning. My interest in the things that led to Bitwise were primarily around economic development. Meanwhile, while I'm kind of wrestling with that angst, I run into a gal named Irma Olguin, who is the co-founder of Bitwise, and she is a technologist. And so we kind of begin brainstorming together, and I see very quickly that the technology industry has a unique ability to grow quite quickly, create immense opportunity, and really is maybe uniquely well-tailored to solve some of the issues going on in Fresno. And so together, Irma and I kind of begin to craft how my passion for economic development in downtown Fresno and her passion for the technology industry and the people in it could be married to really not only have a deep and profound impact on the technology industry locally, but also on our city.
Why downtown Fresno? Why did you decide to locate Wise in an area that's, some might argue, mostly forgotten by urban planners or mostly forgotten by many of the citizens of this community?
despite the fact that we like to act like a small city, you don't get to be a small city when you've got a metropolitan population of 1 million people. And so you've got to begin to think about how you're going to provide attractive futures to those people such that you can sustain this city and all of the important things attached to it. When we look at great cities, and if we as Fresno are going to aspire to that, great cities truly do have vibrant and thriving downtowns. And then when we look more acutely at the technology industry, it really isn't a mystery where our young people are going to pursue opportunity in the technology industry. The market in San Francisco, to Austin, to Portland, the places that are really hip and happening tend to be much the same. They're all vibrant. They're all have a high density of resources, and they're usually kind of weird. And we weren't doing that with respect to environment in Fresno. We can't compete with South of Market in San Francisco with a concrete tilt up in low density area north of Herndon. We've got to say that we're going to take our historic downtown, our quirkiness, our history, and we're going to create the sort of environment people seek in this place.
So the vibe and the community that you're trying to create downtown kind of feeds the technology culture with its maybe emphasis on creativity and maybe non-traditional ways of thinking and that Keep Portland Weird vibe happening in Fresno.
We are focused acutely on delivering the weird that the technology industry desires to the technology industry and satisfying their need exclusively first, with downtown revitalization being a byproduct, a follow-on that is very important, but thinking that you've got to serve the technology industry first and then they will kind of perpetuate the rest.
So bring the techies and the techies will bring the coffee shops.
There you go.
Okay. So you're taking on a problem, well, a range of problems that people have failed at for decades using this technology approach. What's been some of the resistance that you've come up against as you've tried to encourage a city to think differently?
Starting anything is difficult, and certainly we ran into a lot of the difficulties that are common to all startups. I actually think that we ran into kind of a fortuitous growth period. And one of the original talking points is we're going to create a Googleplex in downtown Fresno. We want to have Fresno have a global technology center, all of these sorts of things. We believed with, you know, every fiber of our being that that was possible. And our early results tracked with that being possible. Irma's in her early 30s. I'm in my late 20s. We had maybe a hair of credibility between us. We weren't really taken seriously, I don't think. And so I think in the moment, that was frustrating. But I think as we made our way down the road over the last 2 years, it was very fortunate to have spent the first at least year of our existence just being patted on the head. Because by the time anybody was paying real attention to what we were doing, we had a very real concept that had meaningful traction that was reaching a point of self-sustenance. And so I think we avoided a lot of resistance that we absolutely would have had in a place like San Francisco or Austin, where there are 12 things like this.
While people were sort of patting you on the head, you were making this real traction you describe. And what are some of the accomplishments that you're most proud of that Bitwise has done just in the last couple of years?
Without a doubt, the thing that we are most proud of is Geekwise Academy. Geekwise Academy is our technical training program. We teach folks how to code. It really is narrowly tailored, though, to our region, where our standard course lasts 6 weeks, meets twice a week from 6 to 9 p.m. And a course of that nature in other areas might cost many thousands of dollars, but that wouldn't fit the economic realities of Fresno. And so here it costs $250 with a slight cost shifting, and we charge employer partners who hire out of the class a placement fee. With that, we've now educated over 1,500 students now that are equipped to use code to benefit whatever pursuit they choose. And so if you have that many people using a readily available skill to chase down their hopes and dreams, they're going to start to do good things with it. Certainly our job placement rate has been very, very high. We have been through now, I think I shared maybe a minute ago, over 1,500 students. And then some of the things that have come more recently that are really, really things that we're proud of, beginning in the fall, we will be busing in every single day students from 7 different high schools, over 250 of them, to learn computer programming for half of their school day every single day. I think we're going to be the first place in the United States ever to do that. And then maybe a cherry on top is we've developed this program called our Geekwise Academy Developer Cohort that takes now from that pool of 1,500 students that we've seen over the course of the last year, who are the best and brightest of those, and how do we find a way to divert them away from not just your entry-level job, there's nothing wrong with that, but how do we find a way to equip them such that they get to choose their opportunities, such that we treat them like the kind of rock stars that they are. And so it's a 6-month program where we pay aspiring developers to develop projects in lockstep, increasing complexity under the tutelage of one of our very experienced developer fellows, we call them. And now they're being exposed to a span of things that would ordinarily take them years to touch. And at the end of that 6-month period, now get to kind of choose their own destiny. And that, we think, is very powerful. And they're the folks that we think can be very impactful on the future of the technology industry here in Fresno.
So you're training at all levels at one time. You're training your 15-year-old, you're training your 22-year-old who's ready for their first-time job, or the person who's coming back for retraining after being in a career. And then you're training the experts who can then go out and continue to do the more complex supervision and training, as well as take on the harder projects.
I think that what will be the ongoing reputation of Bitwise is that their Geekwise Academy made Fresno the best place on the planet to become a professional geek. No matter what your starting point is, if technology is involved in the end point, we can equip you, I think, in a way better than any other place to achieve that.
So given that, you know, I think many in our audience are already technologists, they're already doing a startup or they're already founders of their own companies. Given this journey that you've been on, like, what thoughts or advice do you have for technologists who are interested in serving their community or who are interested in using their skills in a way that serves those around them?
I think that the technology community in general should have a commitment to not just what's next, but who's next. What are we doing to give opportunity to folks who want to do the sorts of things that we're doing today? And in any community around the country, programs could be developed to teach folks how to code, that connect them to opportunity. So that would be piece number one. And then piece number two is really the creation of community around the technology industry. I think we have to remember that far too many times, the folks who wind up doing profound and exciting things in the technology industry really spent most of their lives without a true place or community around them. And so we're not terribly good at giving the geek, right? And around here, that's a badge of honor, which won't be a strange thing to your audience. But we as a country, as a population, aren't terribly good at giving the geek the sort of place that they feel comfortable in, that they feel excited about. And so simply creating community in which you interact with aspiring technologists, existing technologists, that can be life-changing because you've given that person their group. And with that level of comfort, now there's the freedom to innovate and be creative and all of those sorts of things. And I think that those two things, the creation of community and education, even if it is just mentorship, if we as an industry had a more real and robust commitment to those sorts of things, I think that that can be really life-changing on a community. Certainly not everybody is going to go out and start an enterprise like ours in which your end goal is to lift up a city, but that's not the only way to serve your community.
Kind of that overarching reminder to reinvest in people, whether that's by creating community or by training or kind of remembering the human side of the technological world.
I think that's right. If you were to rewind the tape all the way, it's traditional guild is that this is a craft and I need to invest not just in myself, but in other people to kind of carry this mantle when I'm done. And some people innately do that. I don't think that is as well developed in the technology industry as it should be. Let's make it so that I not only want to grow up and found a $1 million startup, but I want to grow up and I want to teach some too, because I want to learn something along the way and somebody taught me at some point. So I think that that really is an important piece.
So I thought that Jake made some great points about the ways that technology folks can be really helpful to others in terms of supporting the technology community, both in terms of training and in terms of making spaces where geeks feel at home and feel affirmed. It also kind of reminded me of the work that you've done creating MicroConf.
Sure. Yeah, it's about creating a community, right? It's about a group where people can get together and feel like they belong and like they aren't some type of outlier. When I first moved here 6 years ago, I was working from my house and I didn't know if there were any other tech folks. And in fact, it looked like there weren't any here. Even with a, like Jake said, a metro area of 1 million people, I was surprised at how few job listings there were on Craigslist, as an example, or how there were no meetups for entrepreneurs, founders, and even there may have been one developer meetup that basically fizzled after I got here. So it was very striking and it felt pretty isolating. And I was kind of just, I figured I was going to be hanging around here kind of on my own. And then this tech scene, essentially, that what turned into Bitwise and Geekwise kind of formed up as I was here. And so it's been a stark difference, even just over the last 5-ish years. And the importance of that is it brings people together to start doing things that are just bigger than what they can do on their own. And you referenced MicroConf and kind of the micropreneur worldwide community. We have started sharing knowledge through the talks and the hallway track and Founder Cafe and just all the stuff, all the places where we gather. And as a result, if you look back 5 years, we are way further ahead and further along than we were in terms of we build apps faster, we build them better, we can grow them faster. I mean, there's a bunch of things that this sharing allows us to do. And then it's the same thing here in town. We have a building with 27 small software companies, and that really gels. It like brings people together it starts to be like a better talent pool, so you can find people easier. There starts to be more collaboration. People start to be able to grow their businesses faster. There start to be partnerships that come out of this. I mean, every element you look at it, community and relationships is really what builds this stuff and pushes it forward. And so I think having this element of service that's basically giving back and trying to build a community actually benefits everyone, including the people that are giving back, right? The people that are trying to invest in the community.
Right. You've hired out of Bitwise. So you've helped to support the development of folks who then come back in and support you as employees or as contractors or people that you know are well-trained.
Absolutely. That's right. Because before this, I was hiring out of the area, right? I'd hire anywhere in the world because I didn't know how to find people locally. And once Bitwise came along and the Geekwise training, I realized that I could, in fact, find folks here in the area. I'd so much rather hire local, right? There's the face-to-face element of it. And then there's just keeping money within your community, especially in a community like ours, where it is a struggling community in general and has a large concentration of urban poor and that kind of stuff. So it's nice to be able to keep the money here. What are the levels of service here? There's like nonprofit status, where you're like truly trying to raise money and not trying to make any of it and just giving back, and whether it's opening a soup kitchen or helping missionaries or helping people find jobs. And then there's this hybrid model that I'm a fan of. In California, we call it a B Corp or a beneficial corp. And it is a corporation that is legally allowed to not provide maximum value to shareholders. Because if you look at what an actual corporation is, you can be sued by your shareholders if you do not maximize your profit. That is the charter of every corporation. A B Corp allows you legally to not be required to do that. And what that means is you can pay above minimum wage. You can give money back to the community. You can do things that may not totally make sense to a pure profit-driven, capital-driven business. But I've always loved that model of the sustainability of it, right? It's the ability to help people in a way that makes enough of a profit so you can run the business on itself, so that you're not spending half of your time or more trying to fundraise, going to the rich people. You're actually able to sustain it yourself. And in my opinion, it makes it worth everyone's time. I've done volunteer work over the years, right? You and I have been to Africa. We've done some volunteer work locally. But the bulk of my time is invested in things that are kind of pushing things forward. And I think that if you can start something that is sustainable and it makes enough money that it's interesting for everyone involved, like, I think there's a virtuous circle there.
I think a recent example of this is Dan Price, the founder of the credit card company Gravity. He's the guy in Seattle that raised the minimum wage for all of his employees to $70,000 a year. An interesting example of everybody in the company being well paid and the company of, you know, maybe losing some money on their bottom line, given how highly their employees are paid, but doing something that is arguably the right thing for the well-being of the employees, but also comes back in terms of motivation and commitment and loyalty to a company that's willing to do right by you.
Yeah, that's right. And other examples include Tom's Shoes, where the give one, get one model, where it's a for-profit company, but they give a lot of shoes away to folks who can't afford them in other countries. Doc Bernstein's, which is a local ice cream chain on the central coast of California. they are a B Corp. They're one of the first California B Corps, and they pay higher than minimum wage. They give a bunch back to their community. They're very purpose-driven, but they also turn a profit. And they had an initial public offering, which was sold a couple thousand shares at $50 a share. And I was overjoyed. I love ice cream. And I also like helping people, and I like capitalism. Like, I like companies. And so it was a no-brainer for me to pick up a few shares. And now I'm invested in their story. And I like the way they operate, helping the community. And Bitwise is another example of that, of folks who have some type of profit motive, but really the service aspect of it and developing and building out the community really is at the forefront of it. And revitalizing the technology group here in town was really the number one goal. Full disclosure, I should add that I am an investor in Bitwise, and there's just a handful of us. Irma and Jake founded it, but I do have a small investment stake. That's not why we had Jake on here, but it is why we have intimate knowledge of how it works and really the benefit that it's doing for this area.
It's how we know Jake.
Right. Well, and if you're listening to the show, you might be thinking, well, I'm not going to go start Bitwise or Tom Shoes or Doc Bernstein's. And so you might just be one developer. What could you do either in your local community or outside of that? And I think the thing that I learned over the years, because I used to feel guilty of like, well, I'm not volunteering at the local soup kitchen, right? So that makes me a bad person. And what I realized is that there are opportunities that uniquely use your skills. Because I never wanted to volunteer at a soup kitchen. It just didn't sound interesting to me. But you know what sounds interesting to me was you and I went to Africa and I helped a bunch of people fix their laptops, a bunch of missionaries who were helping folks in the area. I also went and taught some African business folks who were trying to get online. I taught them how to set up a website and how to register a domain and some other stuff. There's local opportunities for you to do that too, whether it's to volunteer to teach high school kids how to code, whether it's to volunteer 3 hours a month to help a local nonprofit with their website or with their IT infrastructure. There are tons of ways for you to do what you love, and it probably will provide more value than you going and serving bread and soup at a soup kitchen. There's a need for both, but there's a lot more people who can do the latter. There's very few who can do the former.
And there are even some highly technological services that are specifically addressed at issues of poverty or homelessness that have been built by technologists. You know, there's a couple of services related to homelessness in the Silicon Valley that basically, people who are homeless have kind of a profile and people can contribute money to them through an app.
Yep, it's called handup.org. And I'm pretty sure Jason Calcanis actually is an investor in here, but the headline on the homepage is donate directly to a homeless neighbor in need. And yeah, like you said, you basically get an app, and I'm assuming it's like geolocates folks and they can tell you their story, and it's pretty incredible.
So I think for those of us who are in the technology world, me sort of on the periphery, but there are all number of human problems that can be supported through technological intervention or support. Just having access to information immediately, we've seen just in our lifetime kind of revolutionize the way that education happens and the way that food donation happens to make sure that who has what kind of food when, that all is a streamlined process and helps food not be wasted. Or yeah, if you're interested in supporting access to education or technology in developing context or developing world context, there is a need for all of that, for the expertise that technology folks have. And so, you know, it's definitely part of our values in our life is that we feel like we're very aware of how much we have and how many resources and just things that we have to be grateful for. And so it's been neat to find some really, really cool technologically integrated ways to try to give back to the community that has supported us and I guess pay it forward, so to speak.
And you can start with the little things. You can start by just volunteering to speak for an hour at a local school and educate some kids on coding, or to, like I said, help out a local nonprofit or something. It doesn't have to be this huge effort, but I think that this stuff, it's addicting. Like, helping people and doing what you love and being able to help people is kind of the best of both worlds. And I think once you get started, you tend to want to do more of it because you see the results that it brings.
And I think once you're in the technology world, it can be easy to forget or not realize how incredibly valuable your skills are to the people around you that don't speak code, like don't understand how the internet works or how technology works. And so the help that you can provide to a variety of people is really very profound. I think it helps people access the language of power and the language of information when they can use technology well.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder.
We'll be back next week with another conversation about how to enjoy a little bit more Zen in your startup life.